teaching.
Good morning, everyone. Our reading comes today from the book of Proverbs 10, 4 through 13. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Blessing are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. He who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be ruined. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Really thank you for being here. Appreciate your encouragement and your presence. The title of our lesson is called The Goads. And I feel like I should explain why I chose this particular reading from Proverbs, because you may wonder about it. Well, you'll see a relationship between the goads, I hope from this lesson anyway, and being idle, and what the goad purpose was, what it was used for. So we'll see, you can see that in the reading. You also see some things where people push back by their behaviors in the reading. And a lot of the things that we just heard read in our hearing from Brother Larry are things that we can observe on a daily basis. So I hope it all comes together and makes sense to you, like it kind of does to me. So the goads or urging. If you look in the Bible and you look at Acts chapter 9, it's a very interesting thing that occurs to brother or to Apostle Paul, but it's also different from translation to translation how it's worded. For example, one thing I should say, I think it's important for us to understand the Greek definition, the Greek term here, goads, so that when we can picture what Saul was doing to the church as he persecuted the church, we can more understand his intensity when he was persecuting the way. And the way, you know, I think it's also interesting. We were talking about the rich young ruler in our lesson this morning, in our Bible lesson. I was thinking that this was different. It was something new. They were so used to the old law. Now this kind of new movement came along, and Jesus being the leader of this new movement. And so certainly there would be questions. And so Saul was trying to really put a stop to this new movement, this way. And he was doing whatever what he felt like needed to be done to stop it. He not only wanted to stop it, but he persecuted people. He physically persecuted them, or had them physically persecuted, or he had them put in jail. And so he did what he thought was right, because they were living in this new way, this new movement was contrary to what God expected his people to do. It's also interesting that in some translations, when Jesus says about kicking against the goads, that it's not in there. I use a lot of time study from the New American Standard Version, 1995 version, and it's not in there. It just says, why are you persecuting? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It doesn't say it is hard for you to kick against the goads. So it's not in there. And so with that being said, what I try to do myself in my own personal study, because a lot of commentaries, especially if you had older commentaries like I have, a lot of commentaries are derived from the King James Version. And Brother Tom's House's little booklet we're studying, he uses the King James Version. So I try to familiarize myself with what's being said in the King James Version, and I try to also, since a lot of our brotherhood use the New King James Version, which I use myself, I try to familiarize myself with it as well. So I think it's very interesting that we don't find that in the New American Standard 1995 version. And I really don't have a good explanation as to why. But I want to read this as it transpires in Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 1, from the New King James Version. So if you have a Bible app, you're able quickly to switch to that if you would like, or maybe you have that. I think our Pew Bibles are New American Standard 1995, if I'm not mistaken. But it says in verse 1, then Saul, still breathing. And if you go to the King James Version, you'll see that it says breathing out. Still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And it's translated pricks in the King James Version. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Okay. So that word or phrase, breathing out, it actually comes from a Greek word that means to breathe out or on. And so I was trying to figure out a way to kind of explain that the best I could, what that means. And I think it's really important once you do understand the definition of this Greek term, that you'll see that intensity that the Saul was trying to persecute the followers of the way. So I'm going to use this analogy, and I'm going to use it in this way, breathe on. And that would be likened with someone who has bad breath breathing on you. I'm probably guilty of that myself a few times after, because I've got to have my coffee. I have got to have that coffee in the morning. And so there's times where I probably am a perpetrator of having bad coffee breath. and I breathe on my students or my fellow staff members. And so I try to avoid that if I can. I try to avoid close contact because I'd like to try to get a mint in there, but I got to get my coffee. I don't want to mix my mint and my coffee together because they just don't taste well. That's like putting beets and root beer together. They don't work very well. So one thing that I was thinking about bad breath, some people have just chronic bad breath. It's not from the result of drinking coffee. It's from the result of having something inside of you that causes bad breath. And so they just, their body makeup, their chemistry, when they breathe on someone, they just have chronic bad breath. And it's from something deep down inside. And there's a medical term for it. It's known as halitosis. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but there it is.